Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. You ready to get into some really fascinating stuff today?
Absolutely, always ready to dive in.
Awesome. Well, today we're looking at Bitcoin wallets.
Okay.
But not just any Bitcoin wallets. We're going to be looking at a really groundbreaking proposal.
Right.
That could change how we think about self-custody.
Interesting.
So imagine if you could have this security of a hardware wallet. But the ease of use of a phone app.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's exactly what this proposal wants to achieve.
Ambitious.
It is ambitious. And we're going to try to break it down and see if it can actually live up to all the hype.
That's good.
So the source material that we're looking at is this paper called Self-Custody Without Hardware.
Okay.
And this paper basically lays out a system that uses your smartphone along with some really advanced cryptography.
Interesting.
To keep your Bitcoin as safe as possible.
Okay.
And then on top of that, it even has ways to recover your funds if you lose your phone or your cloud account. So that's pretty exciting to have that peace of mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Along with convenience all rolled into one.
Absolutely.
Luckily, I have our expert here with us who can help us unpack all of these details.
I'll do my best.
So I'm curious, what's your initial take on this whole proposal?
Well, I think it's a really ingenious approach because it kind of solves this major hurdle in Bitcoin adoption, right?
Okay.
Which is the tension between security and user friendliness. You know, right now you have hardware wallets,
right,
which are, as you said, super secure, but they are pretty clunky to use.
Yeah.
And then you have phone apps, which are really easy to use, but a little bit less secure. So I think this new design is really trying to get the best of both worlds.
Exactly. Yeah, that's been the struggle, right? People want security. But they don't want to deal with the clunky hardware.
Yeah, it's a tough balance.
So tell me more about how they actually achieve this. Like, what's the magic behind it all?
Well, the core idea is something called a two-of-two multi-party computation system, or MPC for short. So think about it like this.
Okay.
You have a key, and then a super secure server has another piece of that key.
Got it.
And neither of these pieces can be used on their own.
Okay.
So you need both of them together to authorize a Bitcoin transaction.
Interesting.
But here's the really, really cool part.
Okay.
You also get a backup of the server's piece of the key.
Okay.
But it's encrypted.
Okay.
So that only your phone can unlock it.
Wow.
This way, you're always in control of your Bitcoin.
So you're saying I can have basically the security of a hardware wallet.
Exactly.
But without actually needing the physical hardware.
That's the idea.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this whole two of two system actually work in practice? Like, can you break that down for me a little bit?
Yeah. So it all begins with how those keys are actually generated and secured.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like a fortress with multiple layers of protection.
Right.
So your phone uses its own built-in security features, things like secure enclave for iPhones or Strongbox for Android.
Right, right.
And then on the server side, you've got what are called data encryption keys, or DKs for short.
Okay.
And these protect your key shares.
Okay.
But to make things even more secure, those DKs themselves are locked away with a master key, which is called a customer managed key.
Okay.
Or CMK.
So these DKs are like the first line of defense for my key shares.
Exactly.
And then the CMK is like the master key that protects the DKs themselves.
Exactly.
But where is this super important CMK kept? And how do we know it's actually secure?
So the CMKs are stored in something called AWS Key Management Service.
Okay.
Which is basically like a digital vault that's built to be incredibly difficult to crack.
Right.
And there's another clever security measure in place.
Okay.
Where the CMK can only be used to unlock those DEKs if the system can verify that the code that's trying to access it is the legitimate secure code that it's supposed to be.
Oh.
It's like a really strict bouncer at a club.
Right.
Only letting in the right people.
Only the VIPs.
Exactly.
So multiple layers of security checks and balances at every step of the way.
Right.
But what if one of those DKs, those data encryption keys, what if one of those gets compromised somehow?
That's a great question. And luckily, it's not game over.
Okay.
These keys are refreshed frequently.
Okay.
So it's kind of like changing the guards regularly.
Got it.
And this minimizes the risk because if a DK does get compromised, it's quickly replaced.
Okay.
And then it becomes useless to an attacker.
That makes sense. And you can even verify that the server is actually running that correct secure code.
Exactly.
So it's very transparent.
Yes.
Okay, that's reassuring. Now, there's one more piece of the puzzle I'm a little bit curious about.
Okay.
Which is this thing called Frost.
Right.
That you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that is and why it's so important in this whole system?
Yeah, so FROST stands for Flexible Round Optimized Schnorr Threshold Signatures. Catchy, right?
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. But basically, it's the technology that allows your phone and the server to sign off on a transaction without ever actually combining their pieces of the key.
Okay.
And this is a big win for security and e-privacy.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'd love to hear more about how Frost actually does its magic
Sure.
and what those specific benefits are that you just mentioned.
Okay, yeah. So because those keys never actually come together, it makes it that much harder for an attacker to steal them.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense.
And then you get other cool benefits.
Yeah, what else?
First, transactions become cheaper because you have fewer keys involved in the signing process.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then second, your privacy is actually enhanced because the multi-sig setup is basically kept hidden on the blockchain.
Okay.
And then lastly, you can seamlessly add or remove other signing devices,
Okay.
like let's say a hardware wallet,
Right.
without having to move your funds.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like upgrading your security system without having to change your address.
I like that analogy. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So cheaper transactions, more privacy and flexibility, all thanks to Frost.
Pretty powerful tool.
It is. You've painted a really, really impressive picture of how secure this whole system is.
Yeah.
But what about the practical side of things? Like, what happens if I lose my phone or I forget my PIN?
Right.
How easy is it to actually recover my Bitcoin?
That's where I think the real brilliance of this design comes in.
Okay.
It's the multi-layered approach to backups
Okay.
that they've implemented. And I think this should really make those lost Bitcoin nightmares a thing of the past.
Okay, that's good. I don't want to have nightmares.
Yeah.
So walk me through these backups. How do they work? How many are there?
All right, so let's start with like the most important one,
Okay.
which is your self-sovereign backup.
Okay.
You remember that encrypted backup of the server's key share that we talked about?
Right, yeah.
That's your golden ticket.
Okay.
It's encrypted specifically to your phone's secure enclave or strongbox,
Yeah.
meaning that only your device can unlock it,
Oh.
even if someone managed to hack into the server,
Right.
which is very unlikely with all these security measures.
Right.
They still wouldn't be able to get to your Bitcoin without your phone.
That's reassuring. So what if I lose my phone? That backup is gone with it, right?
Well, don't worry. There's a backup for the backup.
Okay, there's layers to this.
Exactly. So your app key
Oh,
share.
great.
This is the other piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
It's securely stored in your cloud account.
Okay, but my cloud account, isn't that kind of vulnerable?
You would think so, but that key share is also encrypted using a special technique
Okay.
that makes sure that only someone with your PIN can access it.
Okay.
So even if someone got into your cloud account,
Right.
they couldn't decrypt the key share without knowing your PIN.
Wow. Okay. So let's say someone was super determined and they tried to just brute force my PIN,
Okay, yeah.
like just guessing it over and over again. What would stop them?
Well, the designers kind of anticipated that, and they implemented what's called rate limiting on the server.
Okay.
So this basically slows down how fast someone can guess
Okay, that makes
to
sense.
make it almost impossible to crack.
Got it.
Right.
And they recommend using a strong 6-digit PIN RISC.
Exactly, yeah.
So it might take an extra couple seconds to type in, but adds a lot of extra security.
For sure.
Okay. 6 digits. It is,
Yeah.
it's incredible how they've made this so convenient but still secure.
Right.
But what happens if I lose both my phone and my cloud account?
That's a good question.
Is that it? Game over.
Not at all, because they came up with this really cool feature called social recovery.
Okay, tell me more about social recovery. How does that work?
Think of it this way.
Okay.
You know how you might have a trusted friend or family member that holds onto a spare key to your house
Right.
just in case you get locked out?
Right.
It's kind of a similar concept,
Yep.
but obviously with much more advanced cryptography involved to ensure that even your trusted contact can't actually access your Bitcoin directly.
Oh, okay.
It's based on a protocol called Portable Blind Cloud Storage, or PBCS.
Blind cloud storage. That sounds pretty interesting. Can you explain how that actually works?
Sure. So basically, you choose your trusted contact,
Yeah.
and then the system walks you through a secure setup process
Huh.
where you use something like SMS to exchange short codes with your contact,
Okay.
and that establishes like a secure communication channel.
Got it.
And then your key share is encrypted and split into pieces.
Okay.
One goes to your trusted contact, the other piece goes to the server,
Okay.
and neither piece can be used on its own to recover your Bitcoin.
Right.
You need both pieces. and they can only be combined using a special key that's derived from your PIN.
Wow, so even my trusted contact doesn't have actual access to my Bitcoin.
Exactly, they just have a piece of the puzzle.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that make it kind of a hassle to recover my funds if I needed to?
Not really. If you ever needed to recover your wallet, you would just initiate a secure connection with your trusted contact, exchange some cryptographic tokens, and then you'd be back in control.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But let's say I recovered my T-share. What's stopping someone from immediately changing my recovery settings or moving all my Bitcoin?
Well, to add an extra layer of security, the server won't allow those actions right away.
Okay.
It triggers a delay period of several days.
Okay.
And it sends you a bunch of notifications.
Okay.
Just in case someone else is trying to do those things without your consent.
So, even if someone tricked my trusted contact and stole their piece of the key, I'd still have time to stop them.
Exactly. This is all about giving you as much control as possible.
I see. They really have thought of everything, haven't they?
They really have. There's even this mechanism to break stalemates.
Okay.
In case you and an attacker both have partial control.
Okay.
And it favors the legitimate owner by requiring a signature from a key that can only be derived from your PIN.
Wow, that's impressive. But with the server playing such a big role in these backup and recovery processes.
Right.
What about privacy?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't all this interaction with the server expose my information?
That's a very valid concern.
Yeah.
And that's why the designers have addressed it head on.
Okay.
By including several techniques that are designed to protect your privacy throughout the whole process.
All right. Well, I definitely want to hear more about these privacy-preserving measures. How do they work?
Well, one of the key features is called descriptor privacy.
Descriptor privacy.
Yeah. And your wallet descriptor is basically like a roadmap to your entire transaction history.
Okay.
But the server never actually sees your full wallet descriptor.
Okay.
That information is kept safe on your device.
So the server can't, like, snoop on my transaction history.
Exactly. And there's also signing privacy.
Okay. And what is that?
Well, the server can help you sign transactions without knowing what you're spending your Bitcoin on.
Okay.
Or even where you're sending it.
So they're kind of like a blind notary. Signing off on a sealed envelope.
Yeah.
They know that you're authorizing something, but they don't know what's inside.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the vault feature we talked about earlier? Doesn't the server need to know my balance to enforce those spending limits?
Yeah, but even there, they found a way to protect your privacy by using something called zero-knowledge proofs.
Zero-knowledge proofs. Those sound familiar.
Yeah, you might have heard of them before.
And so.
But basically, they allow you to prove to the server that you have enough funds to make a withdrawal from your vault without actually revealing your balance.
Okay.
It's like showing someone that you have enough money to cover a bill
without
having to open your wallet and count every dollar.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they've managed to create a system that's both incredibly secure and protects my privacy.
Exactly.
This is amazing. This feels like a game changer.
It really does. It offers a solution to a lot of the big challenges that have been holding back wider adoption of self-custody.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a really exciting development.
It is.
It's great to see these kinds of innovations in the world of Bitcoin wallets.
For sure.
Yeah, it really does feel like we're taking a big step forward here.
Mm-hmm.
So before we wrap up, I think it would be good to recap the key benefits of this whole proposal for our listeners. Like, why should they be excited about this?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here, right? We've talked about how this proposal combines the security of a hard wallet with that convenience of a phone app.
Right, right.
All without needing any extra hardware.
Exactly, which is huge.
And then you've got those incredibly robust backup and recovery systems.
Yeah.
Giving you that real peace of mind, even in those, like, worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they've really gone above and beyond to make sure that user privacy is protected. So it's really that combination of security and user friendliness and privacy that makes this proposal so compelling, I think.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And it addresses a lot of the concerns that I know a lot of people have about, you know, taking control of their own Bitcoin.
Right.
Because it makes it so much easier.
It does.
So imagine a world where anyone with a smartphone can just easily and securely hold their own Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Without having to, you know, rely on exchanges or, like, wrestle with complicated hardware.
Right.
that could really open the doors for a lot of new people.
Oh, absolutely. I think it has the potential to really lower that barrier to entry and really empower individuals to like truly own and control their financial assets.
Right, right. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And kind of gets back to those original goals of Bitcoin in the first place, right?
Exactly.
It's all about financial sovereignty.
Yeah.
This is all really, really promising stuff.
It is.
And it makes me wonder, could this kind of approach be used for other cryptocurrencies? Or like even digital assets beyond finance?
That's a great question. And it's something a lot of people are thinking about right now.
Yeah.
I think the principles behind this design, you know, the MPC, the backups, and the privacy stuff could definitely have applications beyond just Bitcoin.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if this becomes like a blueprint for securing all kinds of different digital assets in the future.
It's really exciting to think about all the possibilities.
It is.
Well, a huge thank you to our expert for taking the time to walk us through all of this today.
My pleasure.
And for our listeners who want to dive deeper into this, we'll have links to the source material and some additional resources in the show notes.
Awesome.
And to all our fellow deep divers out there, stay curious and keep learning. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive.